In 2 Timothy chapter 2, when we come to 2 Timothy, we find the Apostle Paul not celebrating Easter Resurrection Sunday the way we might be celebrating. Paul is not in a nice church building. He is not amongst flowers. There is no candy, no spring colors, no new clothes, no friends. He is not anticipating a family gathering and ham dinner. How many are having ham today? What are you having? Bob, what are you having? Ham. All right, you didn't raise your hand. We're making salmon. Paul is in a dark, dirty Roman dungeon. Like nothing we have ever or will ever experience, he is bound in chains like a vicious criminal for simply preaching the gospel. Rome had increasingly turned antagonistic toward the gospel. Where Paul is, there's little light, no sanitation, no hope of release other than execution by decapitation. And what was even more discouraging from a human perspective is that the churches that Paul had given his life to work with, the churches were not doing well. Listen to this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Paul writes to Timothy, "You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me." He's one of the greatest apostles. His people have left him. They've fled him because he's in chains. Worse than that, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10, it says, Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. Demas was one of his right-hand men, very effective in gospel ministry, but like a lot of other drifting believers, he looked at the world, he got his eyes off the Lord, and he went the wrong direction. That broke Paul's heart. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, he says, "Trophimus, I left sick at Miletus," one of his other key workers. It's a discouraging time. So Paul writes 2 Timothy to encourage Timothy, who would be taken on the mantle of doing the work of the ministry when Paul would lose his life. Timothy was shy, he was scared, ashamed, and Paul needs to encourage him. He needs to encourage us this morning. And so what Paul does in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, Paul drives one truth home that Timothy needed to hear, and I need to hear, and I believe you need to hear this morning. Listen to these words. This hasn't changed in over 2,000 years. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, Paul writes this. Remember where he's at when he's writing this. "Remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound." Remember Jesus Christ. If you have an outline, first point I want to make your focus. Your focus is that you need to keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And the exhortation is that I've just read to you, remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ. When Paul wrote that, you know this, if you have a good English translation, it means to continually remember, always keep in mind, go back to what you have been taught. And remembering in the Bible always includes obedience and much needed adjustment. To another group of suffering Christians who were drifting and were discouraged, the author of Hebrews says this, you know these words, "Fix your eyes on Jesus." Hebrews 12, 2, "Looking unto Jesus," keep your eyes on Jesus, "the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And on your notes, just quickly, the person is Jesus Christ. He is the perfect God-man. He knows what you are going through because he went through suffering himself. And the question I ask is the reason why. Why would Paul have to tell Timothy to remember the Lord Jesus Christ? Sounds like a strange thing. But you know what? Same is true today. In the midst of hard times, we get distracted and we often think about the wrong things. In fact, someone said over Israel's tombstone, it should be written, "They soon forgot." They soon forgot. They got distracted. Way back in England, a generation or so ago, there was a great preacher by the name of David Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of the top physicians in the country. And he got saved. He sensed his call to leave the medical profession to be a preacher of God's word, and the medical community is very upset with him. But he wrote this. He wrote some profound things. And Dr. Lloyd-Jones wrote, "There is in all of us, a tendency to forget. We always forget the very things we want to remember, and conversely, we find it almost impossible to forget the things to remember the things we'd like to forget. Memory is something that needs to be roused and later stimulated." And you know this because we go through this every month. When Paul gave the Lord's table to the church, he quotes Jesus as saying twice, "Do this what?" With the elements. Do this what? When you partake of the bread, do this what? In remembrance of me. When you partake of the cup, do this in what? Remembrance of me. Why? Because we have that tendency to forget. So believer in Christ, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. Keep your eyes on Christ. And I want to give you, under Roman numeral 2, I want to give you three facts or points of focus. And really, I want to give you three words this morning. And my aim is for you to leave here this morning with these three words embedded in your mind. Three words embedded in your minds and hearts. And you can write these down and maybe we'll shout them out, Brian. I don't know. First has to do with the resurrection. And the word to remember here is victory. Can you yell out with me? Victory. 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 Look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ. Here it is. Risen from the dead. What is that? Victory. No, victory. Yell it out. Victory. We'll get it straightened out. We'll get it down. Risen from the dead. That's an ongoing event. Not just a past historical fact, but a present reality. Timothy, we have a living, resurrected Lord. He defeated death, the devil, sins once for all. God vindicated him by raising him from the dead, indicating that God's wrath has been satisfied. And based on that victory, Timothy, you, because you place your faith in Christ, will be living forever. In that great resurrection chapter, and what chapter is that? 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul gets to the end of a lengthy explanation and apologetic for the resurrection and the resurrection of Jesus Christ by saying this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58, Paul wrote this. "But thanks be to God who gives us the what? Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable," what to say? "Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." I do not find it enjoyable, pleasant, good news at all when I hear that one of our people has gone home to be with the Lord. They died. But I'll tell you what, we have a great team here. And as soon as we hear that someone has gone home to be with the Lord, I usually get a text from Tim, and he says, "I'm available, whatever you need. I'll be here to help. I can run the sound, whatever you need." And that's phenomenal. And then I'll get another text from Brian. He says, I can be here. And these guys are great. There's others that help with that. But one of the joys of doing a service,
And as much as I do not enjoy our loved ones going home, I enjoy just talking about their lives, talking about the gospel. One of the best part of it is being at the in the grave in the cemetery, knowing that one day the trumpet's going to sound, right? And whether the family likes it or not, it's amazing how this works out. Brian's a Marine, you know? Whether they like it or not, we always end our time at the cemetery singing what? What do we sing? Victory in Jesus. And there's nothing like it. And sometimes people just look at us like, what are these guys doing? But usually, if there's believers there, they sing at the top of their lungs. Because that's the real joy. No matter how sad we might be, no matter how tough death is, there is victory. Say it with me, folks. Victory. All right. Victory in Jesus. Second word. And I like this. I really like this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I don't know if I've always seen this here. Look what's here. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. That's talking about the ascension, and the word to remember is glory. Can you shout that one out?
Glory.
A little better than that.
Glory.
All right, that's good. Victory, let's hear it.
Victory.
Victory. Number two.
Glory.
All right. When Paul, I want you to see this in your Bible. When Paul talks about the offspring of David, or mentions in some translations the seed of David, he's not only speaking of our Lord's humanity, he's talking about the ascension. Let's go back pre-Christmas for a moment, okay? I don't know if I've ever read this on Resurrection Morning. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, the Christmas story, all right? Luke chapter 1. Pre-Christmas, pre-Advent. I want to read a couple of verses dealing with Gabriel's shocking announcement to Mary. These are great. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I want to go to verse, that's the wrong book, okay? Luke 1, verse 30 through 33. And the angel Gabriel said to Mary, said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." And catch what Gabriel says about the Lord Jesus to a little teenager, pure teenager. These words are amazing. And verse 32, "He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." That's what Paul's talking about in the Roman dungeon, all right? "And he will reign over the house of Jacob." How long?
Forever.
"And of his kingdom there will be no end." That's the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and what comes 40 days after resurrection? The ascension. That's the ascension, the present rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get to the end of Luke, Luke 24, the disciples are on the Emmaus Road, and Jesus says to them in verse 26, "Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" That's ascension glory. That's David's greater son, our king. And what Paul reminds Timothy, and we may not think about this on Resurrection Sunday, he reminds Timothy that the resurrected, ascended Christ now sits enthroned at the Father's right hand in the place of ruling authority. And according to Psalm 2, the Lord Jesus right now, as we're sitting here this morning, is just waiting for the Father to give them the signal to go. And he'll be back. He'll be back. And he'll be back to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What's Paul telling Timothy? What is he telling you this morning? He's telling us that right now, Jesus Christ governs everything, everywhere, particularly for the church, his bride, his body. Not Nero, and we're talking about Daniel the last couple weeks, not Nebuchadnezzar, not George Soros. Everybody thinks George Soros is running everything. Maybe he thinks he is. He's not. Not President Biden, we know that. But it's the resurrected, ascended Christ. Remember Jesus Christ, Son of David, of the seed of David. So we have victory. Let's hear it.
Victory.
glory.
Glory.
And by the way, if you believe in Christ as your Savior, one of the signs that your salvation is genuine is that you are growing in living under the Lordship of Christ, the King. Let me give you a third word here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. And this is amazing. As Paul's suffering, he's going to lose his life shortly. He says this, as preached in my gospel, as preached according to my gospel. Third word here is purpose. Purpose. My gospel equals purpose. Purpose. If you're in Christ, this is not only Paul's purpose, it's your purpose as well. And sometimes we forget. Paul says, this gospel is mine. It was not invented by me. It was entrusted to me. And Paul reminds Timothy, who's going to have to take on the work of the ministry, that his purpose is based, rather for living, is based on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you Paul's life verse. Anyone have a life verse? We used to have life verse. Remember those days we did sword drills, we sang gospel songs, and everybody had a life verse. And you got their life verse when they signed a card for you. They put their little verse at the end of the signature. I believe one of Paul's life verses is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23. And I'm going to read this at the New Legacy Standard Bible, because I believe that translates this verse the best way. 1 Corinthians 9, 23 gives Paul's life verse his purpose, and this ought to be our verse as well. Paul says, after he writes about Christian freedom and being flexible so people not only hear the gospel, but embrace the gospel and live by the gospel, he said, I do all things. I do all things for the sake of the gospel. We ought to be able to say that. That ought to be our governing verse. If you know Christ, that ought to be our governing verse. We ought to say, you know, we're doing all things for the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for Paul and Timothy, even if it means suffering and dying. You know, the fishers are over there in Chile, and you could read their letter, it's long, and they talk about being held up at gunpoint and losing. The worst part was not the wedding ring, but I think the worst part is, and some of you folks won't appreciate this, some of you will start crying, they took her phone with all her pictures, and some people would rather die than lose their cell phone and smartphone, we know that. But and all the other things that they went through and with that trauma, you know what? They're still rejoicing because they believe they're there for the purpose of the gospel. And sometimes the gospel means suffering, and they're okay with that. What's your purpose? What's your purpose? Some of us want to maintain health, and that's a good thing. Some of us want to retire and be successful in all those things, and there's a place for that. But you know what? For the believer in Jesus Christ, we need to have Paul's purpose. And that's doing all things for the sake of the gospel. Three words this morning. What are they? Number one?
Victory.
Victory. A little louder. Come on.
Victory.
One more time. Blow the roof off.
Victory.
You know, Tim, if we blow the roof off, we can get rid of these cables, okay? Victory. What's the second one?
Glory.
Glory. Okay, glory. The ascended Christ. And then third, purpose. Purpose. So Paul tells Timothy and tells us that if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, someone really loves you unconditionally and forever based on the resurrection of Christ. Can you quote John 3:16? For God so, what? Loved the world that he gave, that shall not perish but have. It's not, okay. Yeah, I didn't give him all the answers. Paul tells us that your sin has been paid for, forgiven freely and forever. There's nothing you can add to it. The work of Christ finished it. Paul tells us that, and this is the glorious part, this is not the end. This is not the end. In fact, for the believer in Jesus Christ, death is just the beginning. Death is just the beginning. Number four, Paul tells us, and he tells Timothy that present needed help is always available because the ascended Christ, the resurrected ascended Christ, gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to abide with us forever. And Paul tells Timothy, the best for the believer in Jesus Christ, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I wasn't going to go here this morning, but let me go to, if you have your Bibles, I hope you'll bring your Bibles to church. If you need a Bible, I have some for you out there. I want you to go to 2 Peter chapter 1 for a moment. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going off script here. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter's writing as an old man. He's writing to suffering believers. And he understands when you go through times of uncertainty, it's really easy to get distracted and forget who you are in Christ. And I hope you don't spend time on cable news all the time and all that talk radio, because it'll drag your mind in the wrong direction. Peter says that we need to be cultivating our faith. You know, we trust Christ, we get salvation full and freely, but after we get the gift of salvation, we need to grow in grace. We need to be discipled. We need to be encouraging one another. And he says this, after giving things we need to be working on, he says in verse 8, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this about the Christian who forgets. He says, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. And that's why it's so important. It's so important to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. Let's close our session this morning by, let's have you stand. Let me make you stand. Okay, why not? I'm standing, you could stand. Let's, you got 1 Corinthians 15:58? All right. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15:58 as loud as, well, almost as loud as you can. Okay, by the way, what are the three words? Victory.
Glory.
And bottom line, let's read verse 58. Ready? Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord. Bow with me, would you? Bow your heads, close your eyes. There may be someone here this morning who's never trusted Christ. And maybe you're here every week, maybe you're new. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus was sent to die for our sin on the cross. And the Bible says whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, simply by turning and trusting in Christ, will have everlasting life. I want to encourage you, my friend, to do it today, to do that today, to stop trusting in whatever you're trusting in, and place your faith in Christ. And we put some little booklets here for you. On the way out, I have about a dozen or so of them, little black book with a stop sign on it. Please take one of these with you. It tells you how you can know for sure, how you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, thank you for the victory. Thank you for the fact that right now the Lord Jesus Christ is at the throne, ruling, reigning, interceding for us based on resurrection. And Father, thank you that you gave every believer, young and old, big and small, a purpose. And that purpose is doing all things for the gospel. Praying, giving, going, sharing, just having a lifestyle mindset shaped by what Christ did for us on the cross. Father, may we walk in victory. May we walk in your glory. And Father, may we align our lives to living according to your purpose for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.